Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this teaching. You know, his word says, great shalom have those who love his Torah. And it says that nothing will cause them to stumble. So it is because of our love that we have for his Torah, for his commands and his instructions, is the reason why we study it and why we want to walk in obedience to the instructions that he has given us, to his commandments. You know, he says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. And we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. Great peace and joy have those who love his Torah and are walking in it as well. So with that said, let's take some time to get into his word for this week and to study that. And you know, this week we are going to be reading in Numbers chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 5. It says, then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. When a man or a woman commits any sin that men commit in unfaithfulness against Yahweh, and that person is guilty, then he shall confess the sin which he has committed. He shall make restitution for his trespass in full plus one-fifth of it and give it to the one he has wronged. So what we're going to talk about this week is this idea of restitution and also the idea of the confessing of our sin. Of course, we also know that the Torah itself also talks about how when one would sin, how there was the need for the sin offering as well. So it's very important to understand that as we talk through this teaching and we talk about the concepts and the need and the benefit that there is for us in the confessing of our sins and also in the idea of making restitution, or you could say making right or amending for the things that we have done wrong. So we're going to talk about those things and how that plays a part in our lives as believers. And of course, when we actually do these things, we are actually walking in love for our brother. When we desire to bring restitution, when we desire to make right what we have wronged, we are walking in love for our brother. Now, talking about these things and doing these things never replaces or gets rid of the place or the necessity of the sin offering. The sin offering was still very much needed. And of course, we know that Yeshua came and he died upon that tree and his blood was shed upon the tree. He was the sinless, perfect lamb. And by his blood is the remission of sins. He was our sin offering. So we put our belief in him, and through our belief in him and believing that he died upon that tree and he rose again on the third day, and through his blood, there is a remission of sin. We receive a cleansing of our sin. So it is still of necessity for each and every person to have that faith and belief in Yeshua. And of course, that faith and belief in Yeshua should produce a new heart within each believer, a circumcised heart, which has a desire to walk in obedience to Yahweh's word and to walk just as Yeshua walked. So let's start with talking about this first thing that was spoken here, where it talks about the confessing of our sin. It says that one shall confess his sin, which he has committed. So in this idea of confession, the first thing that we're doing is we are acknowledging that we have broken his commands, that we have not lived up to the standard and the instructions in which he has given us on how to love him and how to love people. Now, this passage is dealing, when we talk about restitution, is dealing when we actually sin against our brother. So we're confessing that we have not lived up to the standard that he has given us on how to love our brother. So we're acknowledging that we have broken his command, that we have sinned against him. So in acknowledging it and seeing that, we do not hide or try to hide our sin from him. Okay. And also in our confession, we are also submitting ourselves to him. Now, we just talked about how Yeshua was our sin offering for us. And we put our belief in him, and he cleanses us of all of our sins, of everything we've done that where we have missed the mark. So as people who are believers, who believe in Yeshua, who believe in the work that he did for us on a tree, we should be the first people to understand this concept of knowing that we're going to miss the mark, that we are not going to be perfect, and that we are going to sin. And so in that, we also know that we have someone, our master Yeshua, who loved us to the point that he laid down his life for us, and he is ever making intercession for us now. And so we don't need to get caught up in this idea of trying to justify our behavior or trying to hide our sin, but we should be some of the quickest people to recognize when we have missed the mark, where we have fallen, and being the first ones to acknowledge our mistakes and to confess our mistakes. And when we confess, we then turn that confession and submission to him. So the idea is repentance. So we come, we say that we missed the mark, and now we're going to submit to his instruction, to his word. And the desire and the goal is to move forward and turning from that sin and to never commit that sin again, but to walk in obedience to his word. So let's look at Psalm chapter 32 and verse 5. He says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to Yahweh, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. So when we look at what the psalmist is saying here, the first thing that he is speaking of in this verse is this idea of how he has acknowledged his sin before God. Okay, and he says that I have not hidden my iniquity, or I have not hidden my sin from you. He says, I am going to confess my transgression to you. And he says that in doing this, upon me confessing my sin to you, upon me acknowledging my sin to you and not trying to hide it and act as if it did not occur or happen, it says that Yahweh forgave me of my sin. And it's the same with us. When we are faithful to acknowledge when we have missed the mark, instead of trying to hide it, and we come and we confess our sins before him, he is actually faithful to forgive us of our sins. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here again, what is John talking about here? The concept of confessing our sins. And if we confess our sins, it says that he is faithful to forgive us. So we can count on him to forgive us and to cleanse us of all of that unrighteousness. So that thing which stained us, that made us unclean, he is now going to cleanse that from us. And so when he looks at us, when he sees us, he doesn't see the uncleanness or the filthiness of our sin, but he sees us clothed and white, right? Covered by the blood of Yeshua. And so he is faithful to do that. It means that he is going to always forgive us of our sins if we come and confess our sins unto him. Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So this is Yeshua here speaking to the Pharisees. And what we see here in the Pharisees is the exact opposite of what we have been talking about and reading about here in the passage of Psalms and in John. Okay, so they are not coming before God and confessing their sins. They're not coming before him and acknowledging where they have missed the mark and where they have fallen short. Instead, they are doing the exact opposite. They are looking to justify themselves. So you could say, justify themselves before God and also before men to make themselves seem right. That's what it means to justify yourself, is to make yourself right. Well, that can be a very dangerous thing, because we as sinners cannot actually make ourselves right. There's only one way for us to be made right. There's only one way for us to be declared right before the eyes of God, and that is being justified by our belief in Yeshua. When we put our belief in Yeshua, when we believe that he died upon that tree for us, he rose on the third day, right? His blood cleanses us of our sins. When we put our faith into that act and believing that, that is where we receive our justification. Trying to justify yourself by any other means is going to be a complete failure. You will not be declared right or seen right in the eyes of God. Now, you might be able to try and fool men here on earth, but they're not the ones that matter. They're not the judge. Ultimately, you're going to have to stand before God, and he is going to bring judgment upon all men. So we want to make sure that when we go to stand before him, that we are justified by our belief in Yeshua and not by our own justification. Now, what does Yeshua speak of here about them trying to justify themselves? Okay. Also justifying, you could say, is a way of trying to hide their sin or cover up their sin. Well, he says this was an abomination in the sight of God. So this was something that God actually hated. God hates it when we try to justify ourselves before him instead of coming before him in humility and confessing and acknowledging our sin, and in humility asking for forgiveness and seeking his spirit and seeking repentance and desiring to make it right, or restoring our lives back, you could say, on the right path. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So here we're seeing in the scripture in Proverbs, the ones who find mercy are those who confess their sins. Now, it's an interesting thing here. What is it followed by? Confesses and forsakes them. So the concept and the idea is that when we miss the mark, we confess, we acknowledge that we have sinned, and then we forsake them. Or you could say we perform repentance. We turn our back on that disobedience, that sin that we have committed, and we now walk in obedience. We forsake, or we leave behind that behavior that becomes a part of our past. That's no longer who we are, but we become a new person in that regard, in that area. And it's those who confess and forsake. He says they will be the ones who find mercy. The one who tries to cover his own sin, right, will not find mercy. You want to find mercy? You find mercy by having your sin covered by Yeshua, not by yourself. Okay? We cannot hide our sin from God anyway. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 17. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. So here we see Yahweh speaking, and he is saying, look, I have seen all of their ways. So he has seen everything that we do. There's nothing that we do that is not seen from him. Okay? And he sees all of our sin, every disobedience that we have done, every time we have broken his commands and his Torah and his word that he has given us, he has seen it. So we can't hide it from him anyway. So the best thing to do is just to come and humble ourselves before him, acknowledge where we have sinned, and confess that before him, and to forsake that. And you think about the concept of where this was talking about, and starting with the idea of restitution. And we're going to begin to dive into restitution here and what that means. And restitution can also mean, when we think about our relationship with him, it's this idea of making things right, right? So in regard to repentance, restitution in a way of making things right can also be as in our confession, and then we make things right, or we begin to walk in what is right, or we walk in repentance. We don't continue in that same behavior. So, as I said, the second thing that Numbers chapter 5 spoke of was restitution. And when you think of restitution and what that word means, it's meaning to restore to the owner what was taken away from them. It's compensating for a loss or a damage. It's restoring something to its previous state. So the concept or idea would be, if you stole something from somebody, restitution would be that you would bring that very sum of money back to that person that you stole from them. Or if you stole an object, you would bring that object back. Or if your negligence, your careless actions caused damage to their property or something they owned, then restitution would be restoring that thing which you damaged that belonged to somebody else. So the kind of the idea behind restitution, you could sum it up as to say, we make an attempt to right the wrong that we committed against a person. You try to make it right, or you try to bring satisfaction to the one that we have wronged. Okay, so it's this concept of restoration. It's this, I don't just get to go and do harm to somebody and then just say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm forgiven, but we try to restore that which was damaged. And that's the idea of restitution, is to bring restoration to that relationship that damage was done to. Now, the scripture here even talks about how they were to add 1/5 of it. So if you were to steal money from somebody, you were to return the amount of money you stole plus 1/5 of the amount that you stole, you were to return to that person as well. Well, what was the reason for that is as a deterrent, you could say, to deter such behavior from a person, you know, because if you make it to where if you can go and do harm and cause damage and steal from anybody, and all that's required from you is for you to come and confess that you did something and then say you're sorry about it, and then you just get to go on your merry way and keep the thing that you stole from them, or not pay a price for damaging their property and your negligence and your carelessness, then there's nothing to cause you to want to put value in that person or to keep you from ever entering into that behavior or doing that act again. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, if a person sins and commits a trespass against Yahweh by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it, and swears falsely in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he was sworn falsely, he shall restore its full value and add 1/5 more to it and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to Yahweh, a ram without blemish from the flock with your valuation as a trespass offering to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him before Yahweh, and he shall be forgiven for any one of these things that he may have done in which he trespasses. So here in this passage, we're getting a little bit more of a detailed instruction regarding this idea of the restitution, of restoring back to a person. And we're seeing all the things that this restoration covered, right? Whether it was about a pledge, like you promised to do something for somebody, or a robbery, or if you extorted from somebody. It talks about the idea of you losing something, or something that somebody else lost, you returning what they lost unto them. And in this detailed instruction, we see at the end this concept that I had mentioned before, that even though you're making confession, even though you're bringing restitution, the sin offering, we see it here, the sin offering is still required. Okay? So also it goes the other way. Just because you brought the sin offering, it doesn't mean that the restitution wasn't necessary either. Okay? So we got to think about that, right? So just because you restore something, you make something right to a person, doesn't get rid of the need for the sacrifice of Yeshua, for his blood to be shed for us and for our belief in that. So it's also, we confess to that person, but we also need to confess it to our God as well, to Yahweh, our sin that we have committed before him, because we also have sinned against him. Okay, but we also don't get to just say, well, I have been forgiven by God because Yeshua died on the tree for me. So I'm forgiven. You know, my sin offering's there. I have my belief there. So I don't need to go and make restitution. I don't need to go and make right what I have done wrong. Well, that would be missing the mark as well, because what we're actually doing is we're failing to love our neighbor. And the other thing is, this is really one of those things that's really going to set us apart from the world. When you're a person who makes amends for what you've done wrong, when you're a person who wants to bring restoration to the things that you have caused damage to those that you have wronged, that is going to set you apart from a lot of people in this world. And when you do that, people are going to see there's something different about you. They're actually going to see the love of our Messiah in us. You know, our Messiah came to the world to bring restoration to the world. Our Messiah desired and longed for restoration. He wanted to restore every person in Judah at that time to his Heavenly Father. That was his desire, for restoration. And our Heavenly Father desires restoration as well. He wants to restore every mankind back into covenant, into a covenant relationship with him. They both desire and long for restoration. So when we walk in this idea of restoration and restoring things, we are actually showing Yahweh and Yeshua to the lost people of this world. Let's look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So this passage is speaking of Yeshua, speaking of a time that's coming in the future where there will be a restoration of all things. You know, when Adam sinned in the garden, sin entered into the world. And so now we live in a fallen world. Everything about this world around us is fallen. And at that time, Satan gained dominion over the earth. And he was given certain rights, and he was allowed to run around the earth and to do his thing. And so this earth is scarred and is marked by the sin of man. But there is coming a time where there will be a restoration of all things, where this earth will be restored back to where it was before. So that's where I'm getting into this concept. Restoration. It is a character of our living God. So when we make restoration, when we make restitution, we are walking in the character of our Heavenly Father. So I want to look at an example of a convert in the New Testament who made restitution. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1 says, "Then Yeshua entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Yeshua was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Yeshua came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Yeshua said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" So Zacchaeus here, we see here he was a chief tax collector. So probably was a leader amongst other tax collectors there in the community. And now we kind of know from scripture, and he even talks about it here in this passage, you know, the tax collectors were known to be unjust people. So they were known to steal from the people, probably from collecting too much taxes from the people than what was really owed. And they would hold on to some of their money and not giving all their taxes actually to the government. So they were known to be thieves or unjust people. Or as you can see here in this passage, that those around, or you could say the Pharisees, complained that he went to be with this man Zacchaeus. Why? Because he was a sinner. So we see here what his sin was. His sin was in this unjust manner of how he was collecting the taxes from the people, or stealing from the people. He said in his confession to Yeshua, "If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation." So this must speak of an idea of how he has taken money from people on false accusation. So we see this idea that he has stolen from people. So he was a sinner before meeting Yeshua. Now, he had probably heard of Yeshua and who he was, and he knew and he heard that Yeshua was coming through town, and he wanted to see who this Yeshua was. And he was a short man, and he wasn't going to let anything stop him from seeing Yeshua. In his desire to see him, he pushed past the barriers, those things that would prohibit him from seeing him, to the point that he was willing to climb into a tree to look at Yeshua. To me, I see the hunger and the desire in Zacchaeus to see or to meet Yeshua. You know, if we could only have that same zeal that Zacchaeus had at this moment, you know, to push through those things that would get in our way, to be willing to do whatever it took to get that look or that glimpse at Yeshua. And, you know, and Yeshua noticed him doing this. He noticed him in the tree. You know, if you press in and you're desiring and you're going after Yeshua, he is going to notice and he is going to see the effort, and he is going to reward your effort. And you could say Zacchaeus was rewarded for his effort. Because when Yeshua saw him in the tree, he looks at Zacchaeus and says, come down, hurry up and come down. He goes, I must stay at your house. So he's going to go and have dinner, I guess you could say, with this sinner or with Zacchaeus. This sinner who desired to see Yeshua so much that he was willing to climb into a tree. So he saw the zeal that he had. And upon Zacchaeus spending time with Yeshua, what happens? Zacchaeus becomes a new man. When you spend time with Yeshua, you should become a new man or woman. And so upon spending time with Yeshua, this person who was a thief, okay, who has stolen from people, now is going to repent of his sin. No longer is he going to continue in his behavior, but now he's going to walk and take a different course. He says, now I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. So I'm going to go and give half of all that I have to the poor. And I'm also going to go and make right all those people that I have wronged in the past, or I'm going to make restitution to them. This right here marks and shows that he was a new man at that moment in time. And that should be the result of us as well from spending time with Yeshua. When we put our belief in him, when we confess our sins, when we come to him as a sinner, just as Zacchaeus came to Yeshua as a sinner, we confess our sins before him. He is faithful to cleanse us of that sin. Okay, we don't try to justify ourselves, but we openly come before him and we bear it all out before him, hiding nothing back from him, being completely vulnerable to him. And he cleanses us of all that sin. He takes that old heart out, right? He took that heart out of Zacchaeus that was stealing from people. And he gave him a new heart that now had a desire to go out and bless the poor and to restore what he had stolen. So he's going to do the same thing for us. He's going to give us a new heart. A new heart that desires to walk in obedience and no longer walk in the former behaviors of our past. To be that new person and that new man. And as we turn our back to walk as that new person, as that new man, we also make attempts to correct those things that we have wronged people in the past. And when we see that we have wronged somebody, we should make that attempt to make that right as well. And when we do that, like I said, we are actually walking in the character, in the attributes of our Heavenly Father. We should be a people who understands forgiveness. And because we understand forgiveness, okay, number one, we should be able and willing to confess and be willing to make amends for what we've done. And number three, when people have done wrong against us, we need to be a people understanding forgiveness and how we have been forgiven, be willing to forgive those who have wronged us as well. And then when we as a body of believers can fully walk in this and understand this and do this and apply it to our lives, we really do become as light unto the earth and as salt unto the earth, because we really are going to be doing things and concepts that the people of this world really do not do and really do not understand. So I hope that this has encouraged you. And, you know, we will be back again next week with another teaching. And I hope that you come back and you join us for that teaching. And with that said, just going to say, Shalom, y'all.